عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. صلى الله عليه وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين وعلى الصفوة من أصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين، صدق الله العلي العظيم. On the 25th of the month of Shawwal is the anniversary of the martyrdom of the leader of our madhhab, the leader of our school of thought, the sixth imam of the school of Ahlul Bayt, الإمام أبو عبد الله جعفر بن محمد الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام. It's very difficult to be able to speak about the life of this imam within 30 or 40 minutes. This imam contributed into the formation of the biggest Islamic revolution. An Islamic revolution when it comes to science, to the fiqh, and Islamic studies. Not only Islamic studies, even physics, chemistry, geography, and other sciences too. And also another revolution that goes with the scientific revolution, and that is the revolution of akhlaq, an ethical revolution. And they went side by side to preserve Islam and protect our religion. And today, if we are enjoying, if we are really enjoying the real Islam, it is due to those two leaders, the fifth Imam and the sixth Imam, Al-Imam Muhammad al-Baqir and Al-Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. Most of you know, my friends, that in Europe, those of you who went to school and you studied the history of Europe, you know that Europe experienced the Dark Ages. Dark Ages is a reference to where the church, the Catholic Church, dominated the political, the socio-economic life in Europe. And the European people, they suffered a lot at the hands of the church and the leaders of the church. And then they started the Renaissance, the age of Renaissance that started from Italy first and spread it throughout Europe. And then a new Europe emerged after that Renaissance. And all these incidents took place mostly during the 15th century. But we believe, we the Muslims, we believe we went through the same thing, the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages that started when Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan captured power And then Bani Umayyah, they came after him, one after the other. And then when Bani Umayyah, they collapsed, another vicious and ruthless group of people came by the name of Bani al-Abbas, who are unfortunately were the cousins of the Prophet ﷺ. Bani al-Abbas, their grandfather was al-Abbas, not Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, huh? Not the brother of Imam Hussein. Don't get confused between them. We have two Abbas. One of them is Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas ﷺ, was the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen, who was killed during the Battle of Ashura. We are not talking about that one. We are speaking about Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib, the uncle of the Prophet. He had a noble son by the name of Abdullah ibn Abbas, who was very good, who was the cousin of the Prophet, first cousin of the Prophet, who was the student of the Prophet and the student of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And when he died, this man, they gave him the title of Habr al-Ummah. Habr is the greatest scholar. So he was the greatest scholar within Islam. And he was known for his tafsir of the Quran. And he said, I learned all the tafsir of the Quran from Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. He's my mentor and he's my teacher. And when this man, Abdullah ibn Abbas, died many years after Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he died, the last sentence he said before his death, he said, Allahumma aj'al mahyaya mahya Ali ibn Abi Talib wa mamati wa mata Ali ibn Abi Talib. Make my life follows the life of Ali, and even my death, I want to be the death of Ali ibn Abi Talib. So I live my entire life according to Ali. Why did he say this? He should have said, Allahumma aj'al mahyaya mahya Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammad. Yeah, we want, because we are the followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But why this man, who is very knowledgeable, he's not naive, he knows what he's talking about, he's the most knowledgeable, why did he choose to use the name Ali rather than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? There is a reason, strong reason for that. Because at that time, at the time of the death of Abdullah ibn Abbas, many people, including Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, they brainwashed a large segment of the Muslim Ummah and Muslim nation, and he said to the Muslims that Ali ibn Abi Talib is a heretic, does not believe in the true Islam. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan convinced the people of Syria, of Sham, that Ali ibn Abi Talib does not practice prayers, he does not pray. Ali, who was born in the Mihrab, in Mecca, in the house of Allah, and Ali, who was died in the mihrab again of Kufa, Muawiyah, who ruled Syria for 40 years, with his propaganda machine, he was able to brainwash not all the people, but most of them. They thought that Ali ibn Abi Talib does not pray. He doesn't pray. So Ibn Abbas wanted to make an affirmation that my leader is Ali ibn. Because if he says my leader is Prophet Muhammad, obviously the leader is Prophet Muhammad. People have no problem with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when people wanted to attack the Prophet, they would not attack him directly. They would attack the closest one to Muhammad. And who was the closest one to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Ali ibn Abi Talib. You've seen this? Sometimes people cannot attack you, but they attack your son, your daughter, someone who is very close to you, to hurt you. This is exactly what Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan and Bani Umayyah did. They did not have the guts, the courage to say Muhammad is evil or bad, because people would not believe them. Muhammad is Rasul, messenger. Nobody would believe them. But they were able to reach out to Ali and say Ali was bad. Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan recites a hadith, and the hadith is written in the books, not in newspapers, books, that the Prophet pointed to Ali and he said, if you want to see people of Nar and Jahannam, look at Ali ibn Abi Talib. And people believed in that. People believed in that. Because when you lie and lie and lie and lie and lie for 40 years, at the end people will believe you. People will believe you. Muawiyah was smart. He knew how to brainwash people. So Ibn Abbas said, let me mention Ali so people know I am the cousin of the Prophet. I am the first cousin of the Prophet. I am the student of the Prophet. And I want to make this statement so people know that Ali is right. Ali is not wrong. Ali follows the path, the sunnah, the tradition of his leader, his mentor, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unfortunately, Abdullah ibn Abbas had a son by the name of Ali, another son, a grandson by the name of Muhammad. Muhammad, who is the grandson of Abdullah ibn Abbas, such a great leader. Muhammad was the founder of the Abbasid empire, who grabbed power after Bani Umayyah. Bani Umayyah did a lot of justice to Ahlul Bayt. The biggest injustice was the istishhad and the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Before Imam Hussein, Muawiyah killed his older brother Imam Hassan through poison. After that, the son of Imam Hussein, Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, was murdered by Bani Umayyah. Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam was murdered again by Bani Umayyah. Then people were fed up with this family. They started revolting all over the Muslim world. In Basra, in Kufa, in Khurasan, in Ahwaz, in Ray, which is Tehran, even Afghanistan, in Egypt, in Yemen, in Hijaz, in Mecca, in Medina, in all the places, people started revolting against Bani Umayyah until the regime collapsed. Banu al-Abbas were very smart, very clever. They did not like Ahlul Bayt, but they were very smart. So they started asking for power and fighting for power, but in the name of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. They said to the people, we know you are dissatisfied with Bani Umayyah because they are the murderers of Ahlul Bayt. They took power away from Ahlul Bayt. We going to restore this power and give it to the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. Don't worry about that. And this is exactly what they did in the beginning. They started raising this slogan, Ar-Ridha li-Ali Muhammad. Ridha means not Imam Ridha. Ridha means here satisfaction. We would work for the satisfaction, the pleasure, the happiness of the family of the Prophet. We will take care of that. Don't worry. Muslims, don't worry. We will fight until we grab power and we give it to Ahlul Bayt. So support us. But of course the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, through the wisdom given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives the wisdom and gives the inner vision. Even to a simple believer, mu'min, Allah sometimes gives vision, inner vision, not necessarily to be an imam, infallible imam. وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدًى. Those who are guided and those who love to be guided, we will increase their vision, increase their guidance. So through the vision Allah has given to Ahlul Bayt, they knew that Bani al-Abbas are liars. They are liars. They are fighting for themselves, not for Ahlul Bayt, not for the sake of Ahlul Bayt. Not for the sake of justice or peace in the Muslim world. Today we have an example of that, ISIS. ISIS, who are fighting in Syria and in Iraq. Under the leadership of a man who spent his time in nightclubs. They have pictures of him with women drinking alcohol in nightclubs. Now he becomes Khalifatul Muslimin, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, and you have to pay allegiance to him, bay'ah. You accept him as successor to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some people ask me, some of our my dear Sunni brothers and sisters, sometimes we have discussions. They say, you Shias, you say a lot of bad things about Muawiyah. How come Muawiyah was bad? Can someone bad become Khalifa of Muslims? People are stupid. I tell them, look at Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi now. He became Khalifa, yeah? And people paid allegiance to him. And he's Amir al-Mu'mineen. So it means it happens, yes. Some people are stupid, yes. Of course, some people are stupid. Amir al-Mu'mineen. Even from here, from America, from Canada, from Europe, some of the young men and women who have been going to universities in these countries, and we thought they are open-minded, they study in the West, they know what is right and what is wrong, they left their schools, they left their families, and they are joining ISIS now, fighting in Syria and Iraq. Have you seen this? We see it now. The other day, there was an article in the LA Times. I probably mentioned this. I read the article, the whole story, 3 weeks ago. I read it when I was in Karbala. An American girl, she's 19 years old, absolutely American, white American, she has no Islamic roots, no Arabic roots, no whatever. She was brainwashed through the internet by a man from Tunis. Tunisian man sitting in Tunis, he joins Al-Qaeda, he gets in touch with her and he brainwashes her completely and he recruits her to work for ISIS. She's sitting in Denver, Colorado. The man is in Tunisia. There is thousands of miles between them. And they said, her friends, they said, she was not even when she wears a dress, it was very revealing. All of a sudden she changed her dress and she started wearing hijab and long, you know, sleeves. And we told her, what's wrong with you? She said, nothing. This is what I'm doing is right. And then after a period of time, she said, we have to kill the Jews and the Christians. We have to teach America a lesson. And then they captured her, boarding a plane, heading to Turkey. Why do you go to Turkey? Because I want to go to Syria to fight with ISIS, to fight the kuffar and to fight the munafiqeen. Allahu Akbar. This is exactly what Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan did. He brainwashed people, brainwashing through his defamation of Ahlul Bayt, through his defamation against Amir al-Mu'mineen, against Fatima al-Zahra, against Imam Hassan, against Imam Hussein, the family of the Prophet. He was able to rule for 40 years. So don't be surprised. If you see today Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, we have a history of this in Muawiyah and Yazid and all those who came after them. All those who came after them. What is Islamic Khilafah? My friends, tell me. Do you know anything about the Umayyad Khilafah or the Abbas? Do you know about their lifestyle? Do you know how their kings and their sultans and their caliphs lived? Do you know? Do you know about Ma'mun and Harun and their palaces and their maids and their dancers and the drinks and the facade and the corruption they led in their palaces? Still, even today, some Muslim scholars, they say, oh, don't say anything about Muawiyah. He's the companion of the Prophet. Don't say anything about him. Don't say anything about Yazid. Yazid made a mistake. He killed Hussein by mistake. God will forgive him. God will forgive him. He killed Hussein by mistake, but he's still Muslim. We love him. We admire him. Hussein and Yazid, they're going to stand before God and God will finish the business with them. This is not my business to say whether Yazid is good or bad. Still today, my friends, today, this is the mentality of today. 21st century. People who go to universities. Imam al-Sadiq, when he came during a very tough time. Very tough time. Imam al-Sadiq, he lived through the time of Bani Umayyah and the time of Bani al-Abbas. the last 10 corrupt rulers of Bani Umayyah, he witnessed their reign and their time. And then when they collapsed, he witnessed the time of Bani Abbas, and he was killed during the time of Al-Mansur al-Abbas. Today, many of those who don't like Ahlul Bayt, they praise Al-Mansur. They tell you Al-Mansur is a great man. Why he's a great? Because he built the city of Baghdad. But do you know how he built the city of Baghdad? Under the stones of the city, the walls of the cities, the pillars of the cities, he used to put the followers of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Fatima al-Zahra alive, alive. They would push them into these halls and they would build the stones and the walls above their skeletons. The city of Baghdad was built, literally, was built upon the skeletons of the Shia of Ahlul Bayt, the lovers of Ahlul Bayt. Hundreds of thousands of them. Hundreds of thousands of them. This is how he built the city of Baghdad. Bani al-Abbas, they were after their desires, their dunya, their extravagant life. They were not after Islam. The most corrupt person during the time of Bani Umayyah and Bani al-Abbas was the caliph himself. The caliph himself. The caliph who they used to call him Amir al-Mu'mineen. He's Amir al-Mu'mineen. And you have to pay allegiance to him. This is our political Islam. So today, if you see Daesh and ISIS, this is not something new, my friends. This has been going on immediately after the death of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People who are not competent at all to rule, they grabbed power. And the people who were very competent, very pious, Ali ibn Abi Talib, after him his children, Imam al-Hasan, Imam al-Hussein, Zain al-Abidin, Muhammad al-Baqir, Ja'far al-Sadiq, they were under house arrest, they were alienated from the community. Their followers did not have the freedom of going and asking the Imam a single question. They had no freedom. If they find you meeting with Imam al-Baqir, Imam al-Sadiq, you are under house arrest. You have to be put in jail. All other madahib, they enjoyed full freedom of propagating their message, their books, except Imam al-Sadiq, he had no right. My friends, do you know why 85% of the Muslims, they don't follow Ahlul Bayt, only 15% of them they follow? You would not be surprised when you read the history of Islam after the Prophet. You would not be surprised. But you would be surprised, how did those 15% survive today? Believe me, if you read the history of Shia Islam and the persecution they experienced, the death squads they experienced by the governments, the imprisonment, detention, torture, you would be surprised how Shia is still in existence. You would be shocked. You would be surprised. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they seek to extinguish my light. يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. This is a beautiful parable. Have you seen these sometimes brush fires, huge fires? If someone says, I'll take care of it, I can extinguish it with my mouth, would he succeed? Allah says, this is the stupid ones. They think that they're going to demolish my religion through their mouth. بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. وَيَأْبَ اللَّهُ. Allah is adamant, but to advance His cause and His word. And this is why the Imams Ahlul Bayt of Ahlul Bayt, despite the torture, despite the persecution they experienced, the imprisonment, I mentioned to you one day, all the Imams, they went to jail, all of them, except Imam Ali alayhi salam. After that, all the Imams, if you read their life, they went to jail, either the jail of Bani Umayyah or the jail of Bani Abbas. This Imam, Imam al-Sadiq, they took him to jail seven times. Seven times to jail. His son, Imam Musa al-Kadhim, he spent the last 18 years of his life, the last 11 years of his life in jail. The last 11 years. 1 year in Basra, 10 years in Baghdad. And the jail was not just ordinary, like California's jails, you know. The jail was underground. He could not distinguish between day or night. He could not know whether now it is night or day. The Sajjan, the jail keeper, he comes to him, he says to him, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, now it is the noon prayers. Now it is the Maghrib time. Now it's the morning time. He could not see for 10 years in that jail until he died inside the jail. This is Imam Musa ibn Ja'far. Story is very painful. How did this religion survive? Despite these atrocities against Ahlul Bayt, they never gave up on their mission. None of them one day said, listen, I'm tired of this community. I'm not going to serve anymore. None of them. They continued their mission and their path with steadfastness, with patience, with tolerance, even with their enemies. Never we hear that one day one of the imams, one of our imams of Ahlul Bayt, he cursed a person. He cast him to damnation. Never ever. Enemies, they come to them, they attack them. They slander them right into their face. You know what the imam says? He says something very beautiful. A person come and he says to the imam, you are the worst person. You are such and such and such. The imam said, yes. Even I am worse than you, what you said. You are right. You are right. I am not the best slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another person comes to the imam and says to him, you are terrible, you are bad, you are... The imam says to him, very with peace, he says to him, if what you are saying are right about me, these accusations, I ask Allah to forgive me. If these accusations are not right about me, I ask Allah to forgive you. This is the mission of Ahlul Bayt. The mission that does not come to a halt, which is continuing. But one thing breaks my heart. That we claim that we are the Shi'as of Ali, we claim that we are the Shi'as of Imam al-Sadiq, we claim that we are the followers of Imam Sahib al-Zaman, the 12th Imam, but we don't follow their path. When it comes to our social life, social relationship, interactions with others, we don't follow them. I don't see it in our families. I don't see it in our communities. I don't see it in our behavior. As if we are completely, we speak about the statues, legendary figures. We just speak about them, we fantasize about them, but when it comes to real life, we don't follow them. We are completely far from them. Yes, we name our children Ali and Hassan and Hussein and Sadiq and Ja'far and Baqir and Mahdi, but when it comes to learning their legacy, implementing their teachers, their teachings, we are too far from. And Imam al-Sadiq says, the real Shia, مَا شِيعَتُنَا إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّقَ اللَّهَ وَأَطَاعَ. The real Shia is not the one who calls himself Shia, that's it, period. Who fears God, who loves God, who works for God, who sacrificed his life for the sake of the humanity, the sake of those who are confused, those who are lost, those who are orphaned, those widowed, those poor, those the deprived. You sacrifice your life for them. This is real Shi'ism. When you become the best neighbor, the best person in your neighborhood, you are a Shia. When you fulfill the trust, you are a Shia. When you speak the truth, you are the Shia. When you take care of your community, your family, your children, You feel the pain of others. You are a Shia. This is Shiaism. This is real Shiaism. How many of us we follow our imams? How many of us? So he led two revolutions, Imam al-Sadiq. One revolution is the scientific revolution. He's the founder of the Grand University in the city of Medina. Hundreds of students, they come and listen to him, including the four imams, the four main great imams of the Sunni tradition, the Hanbali, first the Hanafi, the Maliki, the Shafi'i, and lastly the Hanbali. They were the students of the imam. They learned from him. Now you may ask me, how can someone studies under someone else and then he revolts against him? Does it happen? Yes, it happens. It happens. Because some people say, if Imam Abu Hanifa was the student of Imam al-Sadiq, how come he went and he established another school? If Imam Malik ibn Anas was the student of Imam al-Sadiq and he loves Imam al-Sadiq that much, how come he established an independent school for himself? You know the reason for that? The reason for that, because the Abbasid government and the caliph, he promoted those imams against the imams of Ahlul Bayt. He did not want people to reach out to the imams of Ahlul Bayt. He blocked them. So if you block them, you have to establish an alternative. You have to tell the people, listen, those people are gone. Don't talk to them. I'm bringing you someone else, a fresh person. Follow this person. This is what Al-Mansur Al-Abbasi, Harun, Ma'mun, the leaders of Bani Al-Abbas did to ostracize the imams of Ahlul Bayt and to marginalize them and keep them away from the ummah, from the nation. And they succeeded. They succeeded. They promoted first Imam Malik, Mansur al-Abbasi. He said no one has the right to speak fatwa except Imam Malik ibn Anas. Meaning even Muhammad, Imam al-Sadiq, Ja'far ibn Muhammad, you shut your mouth, you don't say anything. La yufta wa malikun fil Medina. La yufta, nobody has the right to say fatwa while Imam Malik is still alive. The only person who gives fatwa, who's marji', who's leader, is Imam Malik. So they forced him down the throat of the Muslims only. Then he did not like Imam Malik. After that, he put Imam Malik in jail for political reason. He brings another person and he promotes him. And that person is An-Nu'man ibn Thabit, Imam Abu Hanif. So he crushes Imam Malik and then he brings again Imam Abu Hanif. So it was politics. 2 or 3 days they promote Imam Malik. 2 or 3 years. Another 2 or 3 years, Abu Hanifa, then Ibn Hanbal, all for one reason. What was the reason? Politics. So Bani al-Abbas, they stay in power. And they stayed in power for 700 years. An empire that lasted 700 years. Through corruption, monopoly, and crushing the proponent of truth and justice and promoting the proponents of corruption. This is exactly what they did. And this is how they survived. But at the end, let me say something. Not only they cannot extinguish the light of Allah. The light, Allah says, لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلَّهِ. The light is going to be extended and spreads in the land. And this is what I see. I visited Egypt back in April. And a friend who was with me, he said, in this country now, the path of Ahlul Bayt and the message of Imam al-Sadiq and Ahlul Bayt is spreading very fast in this country. I went to Belgium in the beginning of June. This past June, I was in Belgium, in Brussels. And I was invited to a mosque to speak. It was June 1st or May 31st, actually. Saturday was Saturday night. I think it was either May 31st. You can check it out and see. I think it was May 31st. I was invited to a mosque in Brussels. And the name of the mosque, Masjid al-Rahman. Yes, May 31st. And when I went to this mosque, mostly young people from North Africa, from Morocco, from Tunisia, from Algeria, but mostly from Morocco. So I said, what is the story of this mosque? The imam came, the imam in his probably 80s. He came, an old man. He led the prayers and then I spoke after him. The imam said, this masjid here, this mosque, used to follow a different school of thought. Now the entire population of this mosque and the area and the surrounding areas, they follow the path of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet. I said, what is their number here? Can you tell me a number? He said, the number of those who converted to the school of Shia Islam and Ahlul Bayt, 10,000 people. In Brussels alone, 10,000 people. This is not the job of the government, I assure you. This is not the job of the CNN and the media outlet. This is the job of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who converts the hearts. Allah who converts the hearts to the truth. Allah says to Prophet Muhammad, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ. It is not the one, it is not you who guides. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. It is me. I convert the hearts. Allah says, those who seek the truth, I will guide them to the truth. Those who are asking about the truth and they want to find it and follow it, I will make them follow, find and follow the truth. And I will continue, inshallah, on Imam al-Sadiq and his legacy. I had a beautiful story about him in 2 pages or 3 pages. Very interesting story, but I don't want to delay you more than that. Brother Samir Amiri is going to recite poetry. Do you have poetry? Arizu?
Me?
Yeah? No poetry? Okay. So, Brother Samir Amiri is going to recite, inshallah, چند شعر بیت با به وسیله برادر عزیزمون آقای پاک سمیر امیری و آقا مشتبا. And then inshallah we have the Arabic session about Imam al-Sadiq on Saturday after tomorrow at 7:45 p.m. inshallah ta'ala. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.